And continuing our conversation about the events of the week with Mary Mitchell O'Connor, Fine Gael TD for Dún Laoghaire, Mary Minahan, Irish Times political staff, Tony Foley, lecturer in economics at DCU's Business School, and Michael Clifford, columnist with the Irish Examiner. Mary Mitchell O'Connor, Jed Nash was talking about, as I said earlier, the wage-led economic growth. And there's a lot of conflict, particularly in the transport sector, about wages. And it's not wage increases, it's wage cutbacks that has led, for instance, to the CIE or the Éireann Ó Éireann strike. 2 days of it earlier this week, more to follow. Is the government literally helpless to do anything about that?
No. The government machine is there for the Labour Court and the Labour Commission. They have met on four different occasions. The unions have to come together with Mr. Franks in Irish Rail, and they have to come to a deal. But can I just say one thing? I represent probably a constituency with at least 10 DART stations and that, and people come to work and they are discommoded. And, you know, it's very unfair. People have made sacrifices. There has been money pumped into Irish Rail, Dublin Bus, Bus Air, and $1.5 billion. And I believe $1 billion went to Irish Rail alone. And, you know, other people have, people are telling me that they have taken pay cuts, they have lost jobs, people in my constituency, and they are really looking for a reasonable solution from Irish Rail.
Tony Foley, are we looking at, with Irish Rail, the situation there, at the beginnings maybe of the end, and certainly at least the fraying of that kind of industrial relations consensus which replaced the conflict which most of us around this table are perhaps old enough to remember from the 70s and 80s?
To a little extent, but not totally. I think you've got the contradiction that we referred to at the start about expectations, that on one hand we have the government saying we're on recovery, 3% growth rates, we fixed the problem, income tax reductions coming and so on. And on the other hand, they're saying to an arm of government, you're in a dire strait financially, you have to take additional pay cuts. These are additional pay cuts. So obviously the workers in Irish Rail are listening to the same positive news as well and saying, well, why can't the government increase the subvention if it has so much money? Because most of the money pumped into Irish Rail, the billion and so on, that's really on infrastructure and so forth. But it does get an operating subvention, as does virtually every rail company in the world, as it were. So personally, yeah, I recognise the strikes are a huge discommoding to everyone, especially in Dublin in the DART, and obviously even at the All-Ireland semi-final and so forth. But there is a right to strike. There is this situation that we have one government minister, Jed Nash, saying we should be talking about wage increases. We have the Minister Howland saying we might be reversing some of the pay reductions that we've already had. And at the same time, we're putting the message that we have to have further reductions. So there is a little bit of a contradiction in the message.
I mean, the interesting thing about it is that there has been so few strikes over the last 5 years. I mean, by any standards, when you consider what people have gone through, particularly people at the lower end of the workforce in the semi-skilled area and all the people who lost their jobs in construction, when you consider all of that, we've had a very harmonious time relative to any other similar economy. And yes, people are discommoded by this, but I think Tony's point about expectations, it's all back to that again. You can't have your cake and eat it as far as the government's concerned.
Well, my understanding is that they haven't taken pay cuts, and that what is being put forward are reductions are temporary in a nature. And for example, people on under 56,000 are being asked to take a 1.7.
Mary, what about the context that so many are earning over 100,000 in the same organisation?
Yes, and they're being asked to take a 6.1 reduction.
Well, it's not,
but can I just say, I mean, there are different unions. Two unions have come out, in favour of the strike, but many other workers and two other unions have agreed to these conditions. Look, you're putting 90,000 people, you're discommoding them that are using that travel, that are going to work actually every day and trying to earn their living. So you're putting all their work in danger. And also every day that union are on strike, it's costing something like 1.5 million. And I mean, it just doesn't make economic sense, even for those workers, because it'll cost more than what they will pay under the 1.7% or the 6.1%.
It's interesting, Mary Minahan, how, for instance, people like Kieran Mulvey, who heads up the Labour Relations Commission, has stood back from this and maybe is saying to himself and others, let this take a bit of a course of its own, let people vent their feelings about this, and we may have to wait a little longer and endure more inconvenience before anything actually happens to fix it.
Yes, and Mick's point about industrial peace also makes me think about the importance of luck in politics. Pascal Donoghue at the moment, he's kind of standing back from it, really just, I think his personality type is he doesn't like to get involved in the conflict. He's really just said, as Mary Mitchell O'Connor has said, the cost of it, the 1.5 million. And if you think of Leo Varadkar, who was the minister really who infuriated the rail workers through his comments, he's managed to escape with one bound. He's free. He's off in a new department now. Although Olivia Mitchell, the Fine Gael TD, who's, I think, having a bit of a moment, she was obviously refreshed over the summer and she's very vocal now on a variety of issues. But during the week, she spoke out strongly about the strikes when Pascal Donoghue declined too. And she said, you know, very much the Fine Gael line that the taxpayer won't be put on the hook for this, which yes. I think makes it very, very difficult for Labour, especially at a time when Jed Nash is talking about pay increases.
Two other quick topics. Rural schools, we heard about them earlier. Mary Mitchell O'Connor, you're a teacher, obviously, happily working, or at least you were, in a big urban area. What do you have to say to the people of Allaghese?
And I was happily working in an urban area, but I've also actually worked in Screen, County Meath, which was the heartland of Meath football. And I went to a two-teacher school myself in Belmont School, who I visited recently. And can I just say, the work that goes on in two-teacher small schools is brilliant. And in that school, I saw children play the harp, play the banjo. It wasn't just the tin whistle.
Music, no doubt, of the ears of the people down in Allaghese. What are you going to do about them?
We're not going to do anything because no school will be closed. Any school that wants to amalgamate can come forward. Now, I do know about amalgamations as well, Sean, because I did amalgamate school, and it has to come from the parents. It has to come from the community. There will be no forced amalgamations and there will be no forced school closures.
I mean, it's inevitable. There's going to be change. I've seen it down the class I went to. An old teacher told me there was 20 in it. I didn't remember. There's three going into that school now. The thing I think is people need to be proactive in bringing about that change rather than leaving it to the department and the civil servants in Dublin.
And 20 seconds on the jobs allocation in Europe, Mary Minahan. Mm. Jean-Claude Juncker saying, big jobs for women, but I haven't got enough nominees.
Yes, well, Phil Hogan may not be a woman, but I think he's the next best thing in the sense that he has done his bit. He's introduced the gender quota legislation.
And therefore he deserves to be Commissioner for...
Agriculture.
We'll
leave it there. Mary Mitchell O'Connor, Mary Minahan, Tony Foley and Michael Clifford, thank you all for being with us. That's our lot for today. Sound supervision by Noel Roberts, research by Jonathan Doyle, the broadcast coordinator Michael Lawless, the programme produced by Tara Campbell, the series producer is Hugh Ormond. Over now to Ronan.